Hallelujah. My granddaughter, granddaughter to be, she'd been waiting and waiting for her baby to come. And they kept on changing the dates. And she kept on waiting and getting bigger and getting tireder and wanting this baby to be born. And finally, hadn't been being in labor for a whole month off and on. And she was ready for this baby to come. And she was so excited for this baby to be in her arms instead of carrying him around. Finally, we get the call at 1:20 in the morning. She's in the hospital, and she had the baby already. And we said, oh, okay, 1:30 in the morning. I was awake at that time, believe it or not. And Jaden came into this world in 20 minutes after getting to the hospital. So he was ready to get out, too, finally. So, you know, sometimes we wait for things, and there's a time. You got to wait. Everybody thinks, oh, I want it today. I want it today. And it doesn't come today. Just like a baby, it knows exactly when it's time to be born, and you aren't going to force it unless you take it prematurely or unless you do a cesarean section. And in God's kingdom, there are no spiritual cesarean sections. When it's ready, it's ready. Okay? So Pastor Don was talking about being God's last week, not the God, but being God's, and he got me distracted on my all things are possible. And so I said, okay, how am I going to do this? Because this is what the Lord wanted to say, but all things are possible. So tonight, glory to God, we're going to talk about sons and heirs of God, and that's possible when you believe. Okay? So I'm going to get a little light on this section right here so I can see a little better. That helps me. I didn't want to carry a whole bunch of Bibles with me tonight, so I just wrote down what I want to start with, and the Living Bible. So if you have the Living Translation, you can read along. If you don't, I'll read it to you, okay? And it's Galatians 3, verse 26 we're going to start at. And this is a progression of how things are going to go through tonight. You always have a beginning and you always have an end, hopefully. Okay. So in Galatians 3, verse 26 in the Living Bible, it says, "For now we are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we who have been baptized into union with Christ are developed by him. We are no longer Jews or Greeks or slaves or free men or even merely men or women, but we all are the same. We are Christians. We are ones in Christ Jesus. And now that we are Christ, we are the true descendants of Abraham, and all of God's promises to him belong to us." Chapter 4, verse 1. "But remember this, that if a father dies and leaves great wealth for his little son, the child is not much better off than a slave until he grows up, even though he actually owns everything his father has, just like us as Christians. Everything that's God's is ours." Hallelujah. Verse 2. "He has to do what the child does. He has to do what his guardians and managers tell him until he reaches whatever age his father has set for him. And that is the way it was with us before Christ came. We were slaves to Jewish laws and rituals, for we thought they could save us. But when the right time came, the time God decided on, he sent his son, born of a woman, born as a Jew, to buy freedom for us who are slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own sons. And because we are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. So now we can rightly speak of God as our dear Father. Now we are no longer slaves, but God's own sons. And since we are His sons, everything He has belongs to us, for that is the way God planned it. Hallelujah. So we have it all. It's how we appropriate it and how we use it and how we develop. He says we're children. The Father's given us everything He's ever going to give us. But we have to know how to appropriate it. We have to know how to grow up in Christ Jesus, because all things are possible. Hallelujah. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at the life of Jesus. We have our salvation, but Jesus is going to show us how He lived His life, because we are disciples now. We're being grown up. And when our time comes, then we'll be thrust out, but not until. Even though we want to be born sooner, even though we want everything right now, God has a specific time for each one of us and a destiny, and that plan, we don't want to run ahead of His plans. Okay. So we're going to talk about what Jesus did in Mark 1. And then this is in any Bible that you have. Okay? So let's go to Mark 1. This is not my normal Bible. This is my study Bible. And I kind of protect it because there's only a few now left in existence that I can get. I had to hunt all over, call the company where this Bible came from, and they said it was specially made for a specific group ministry on TV. And they didn't have any more, that I could go to that TV, which now no longer exists, that program, and could not find any more. My other Bible is soft. And there was holes all through it where my hands were. It just melted away over the years. So I kind of protect this one, but I found a hardbound. Okay? So this is my special treasured one. I treasure my word. I treasure it because, not only because it's God's word, this is hard to find. Hallelujah. Okay? So John 1, verse 21. Mark it. Okay. Sometimes I get ahead of myself, and sometimes I just add. Okay. And the top part of it, it says, this was Jesus. He was unique in His ministry. So verse 21 says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, He entered the synagogue to teach, which was what He normally did. He taught the Word of God Himself. Okay? And they were astonished at His teachings, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with You, Jesus of Nazareth? Did You come to destroy us? I know who You are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority He commanded even unclean spirits, and they obeyed Him. Okay, we're going to talk about spirits tonight, unclean spirits, demons. Okay, we learn all of our authority in Jesus Christ, but we don't appropriate it. We don't know what belongs to us. We don't know, well, in this church, we know. But I want to define some of these things, because if Jesus did it, we can too. All right? So in Mark 21 through 27, Jesus cast out an unclean spirit. And then I want to go to verse 31. And this is where he went to Peter's house and prayed for his mother-in-law. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Immediately the fever left her and she served them. Okay? Fevers are under God's feet, under Jesus' feet. We have authority over fevers. Okay? Unclean spirits over fevers. And then verse 34, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. All right, and then verse 39, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. This is, we're working here. We're building up. We're probably pregnant about 2 months. Okay? We're going to give birth to this thing. And then, our growth is through Jesus' examples for us today. That's what I want to bring out, that he's our example. We should be watching and seeing what he's doing. We should be reading his word. Wherever he walked, I want to walk. Whatever. There's one thing. When you have a child, I don't know about you, but when our son was small, I used to have him stand on my feet, and we'd walk around the room on my feet, and he'd have me around, and we would walk. I want to be that close to my God that whenever he puts a step down, I'm there. Hallelujah. He isn't stepping on me. He's carrying me with him. Hallelujah. So I get excited when I see, if Jesus did it, I can too. Hallelujah. So he's our example today. We're going to see that Jesus gave counsel and instruction to his disciples. He didn't just say, here's this book, read it. I don't know about you, but you can give me a manual and I might mess it up because I didn't understand the instructions. Especially if you turn them around and one side is Chinese and the other one's American. Okay? I know I don't understand Chinese, but I do American. But still, sometimes in their interpretation of what I'm supposed to do, if I'm supposed to build a bookshelf, it might not quite look like a bookshelf unless I have a picture of it. Okay? Jesus gave us a picture of what he was doing step by step for us. So, we're going to learn to do likewise. Okay? And we have the Holy Spirit as our helper and counselor today. The disciples at that day, they had Jesus, and he could tell them this or that. We have our internal Jesus, the Holy Spirit, inside us, who tells us what to do, where to go, how to do it, when to do it, why we're doing it. Okay? So now we're going to look at Mark 9. Okay. And we're going to start out at verse 14. And the title on my page says, A Boy is Healed. Okay, that's a good start. I'm glad it didn't say, This Boy Died. Okay, it's this, A Boy is Healed. When Jesus does something, there's no death. There's always life. So verse 14. And we're going to go ahead and read all the way down to 29. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people, greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, What are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered, said, Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, He foams at the mouth, gashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, and they should cast him out, but they could not. He answered and said to them, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here. Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell to the ground and wallowed and foamed at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsing him greatly, and it came out of him, and he became as one dead. So that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Instruction time. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. It just so happens that Pastor has this DVD set, 6 DVDs about prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. And we'll get to that one later. So, Jesus talked to this father. And there's people that have talked to that they're hunting for demons. There's a demon over there. Oh, do you think that person has a demon? That person has a demon. It's just someone who's not been taught and trained. Okay? There's always with a demon a manifestation. If there's not a manifestation, either you've not been praying and fasting, and it's not going to bother them. They don't care who you are. You start praying and fasting, and you're a threat to the enemy, okay? So, that's another day. So, in verse 20, this demon manifested, and everybody saw it happening. And again, Jesus talks to that father in verses 21 to 24. Verses 25 to 27, he rebuked that spirit. He didn't talk back to it. He just told it what to do, and it obeyed him. And in verse 28 and 29, the disciples asked questions, and Jesus answered them. We need to be always ready to ask Jesus questions. The Holy Spirit will give us answers. It might not be like sitting down and just reading something, but he will get the answers to you, however you can comprehend him answering you. Okay? And then there's the same story in Matthew 17. The first one in Mark was a lot more detailed. In Matthew, there's not a whole lot. Okay? And it starts at verse 14 and goes to verse 21. Verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Jesus' instructions again. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However," there's always that however, there's something you've got to do. "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Okay? You are not a threat without prayer and fasting. You can pray your prayers of, "Lord, help me, I need dinner today," or whatever. But when you start interceding for people, like Jesus interceded for this man, he had a problem. He needed help. The disciples, for whatever reason, didn't understand this. But Jesus always taught his disciples as he walked. Wherever they went, he was showing them, telling them what to do or what not to do. Okay? So, and I put down here, I wanted to read some more about this. And so I had Dwayne print out this J.P. Green Sr., the literal translation of the Bible. And I had him write out both of these that I wanted to do. First, Mark 9:25. "And seeing that a crowd was running together, Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out from him, and you may no more go to him, into him.'" Okay? Might sound repetitious, but you know, we come and we hear and we hear and we hear. And then Matthew 17. And I wrote out, had him write out all of this one. Verses 14 through 21, because I just like to reaffirm this, to keep reaffirming it. "And they, having come together, the crowd, a man came near to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is moonstruck and suffers badly. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they did not have power to heal him.' And answering, Jesus said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, until when shall I be with you? Until when shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked it, and the demon came out from him, and the boy was healed from that hour. Then coming up to Jesus privately, the disciples said, 'Why did we not have power to cast him out?' And Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not come out except for prayer and fasting." Probably two of the most things Christians don't like to do is pray and fast. We'll come together and throw up a few prayers, but when we get down to business in corporate prayer, we're getting in there. We're kicking the shoes off. We're spitting. We're speaking. We're moving. Okay? Fasting. Whew. Well, I've heard some people say, "Well, we don't do that anymore. We just live a fasted life." Well, how do you live a fasted life when you're not fasting? I wondered, I'm living a fasted life. Well, okay, what are you fasting from? Okay. So I just let that go because, you know, there's some things you can confront people and they'll just throw up this wall and throw up this wall. And they always have excuses. But if you want to be a threat, you better pray and fast. Okay? I don't know about you, but this Christian life, I don't just want to sit back and just scrape off the green moss off of me. I want to be doing something. I want to be going something. I miss there's things I miss. Okay, I'll just leave it there. So, I want to talk about the church with a mission. And that's Matthew 28. I just want to let you know that if you're not doing nothing, you're not going to be bothered by demons. So you don't have to worry about prayer and fasting. Yes. I have experience with demons. I never went looking for them. They found me. Had I not been in this church and learned a little bit about my authority, they would have ran right over me. They would not even have bothered with me. But because I know who I am in God, and I know what God says by His Word, that believers are supposed to do this, and I hear freaky believers who have demons puking in bags, people, and weird stuff, spending all night pounding on somebody, getting the demon out, and them demons are just laughing, having a great time. Okay? They enjoy confusion. They thrive when there's chaos. We had that one experience with my nephew, which he is free and he's glad to be. But when he was about 8 years old, this little boy was mean. He would take a hammer and try to hit his mother in the head. He would take this hammer and hit the animals in the head. He would do mean things to people. Okay, we knew this wasn't normal. His mother knew this wasn't a normal thing. And then she got a call. No, somebody told her at school that her boy was being locked in a room by himself because they couldn't manage him. That kind of upset her because he was being locked in a room by himself. She didn't know what was happening. They didn't know what was happening, but he wasn't bothering them. So they basically ignored him and just let him have his fits in the room by himself because he wasn't bothering the other kids and hitting them and hurting them. So we happened, just Dwayne and I, we're totally innocent. Yeah, we had just learned about our authority in Jesus, and we fasted for 3 days. And we didn't know why we were fasting. We just fasted because there was that inkling of the Holy Ghost, fast. And I'm going, why? I don't need to fast. I don't feel any reason to fast. We fasted. And when we drove to Walla Walla to visit my brother and sister-in-law, they invited us out. Now we know if ever they invite us out, we better pray and fast before we go because we never know what's going to happen there because other things have happened. So we prayed and fasted. Dwayne's sleeping and I've got my worship music on. I mean, how many hours is it from here to Walla Walla? About 8 hours. So we were pretty much prayed up. We already were fasting. This was the third day. So I have the worship tape on. I'm driving with a tambourine. I'm praising God. Nobody drives by you. And there's lots of places in Eastern Washington. There's nothing there. So I could just have fun. And I said, some men love horses. Some men love chariots. But we love the Lord. And just beating the tambourine around. Well, halfway there, our air conditioning went out. Dwayne woke up. because, yeah, it was 110 outside, okay? So we just rolled the windows down, banged the tambourine, and just praised God all the way there for 8 hours. I'm surprised that I still had voice, but I did. And, well, sometimes Dwayne woke up because I hit the little bumples, so I call them the turtles in the road, because if you worship that long, you're going to get drunk, okay? But it didn't matter there because the turtles kept you, you know, if you went on a turtle, you get back in your line, and you had mirrors, so you knew that nobody was around you. So you could just praise God all out. So we got to the house, and we were just enjoying fellowship, and I went out with my other nephew, and we were sitting on their slot. They had a little swing on the porch, and we were watching the horses eating. And all of a sudden, we heard this one hellacious noise in the front room. And I heard my husband, and I heard my brother and my husband saying, "Your son has a devil." And my brother says, "Well, do something." And I'm hearing this, and my other nephew and I, Billy, we were sitting just listening, and then I thought, well, maybe I better go in there and see what the heck's going on. Here's my daughter-in-law, my sister-in-law, she's sitting on the couch holding her son down, and he's kind of bucking up and down like a little snake, okay? And he's trying to get her to beat on her. Oh, Lord. This was our initiation into being a believer. Hallelujah. So we get in there, and Dwayne says, "Laura, he's got a devil. Look at his eyes are red. I've never seen people with red eyes before." And rolled back in his head. And I thought, oh, okay, what did the Bible say? Believers will cast out devils. Well, he's got a devil. Well, let's do it. And my brother and sister-in-law didn't believe in praying in tongues. I mean, you could pray in tongues, but they just didn't, okay? What does it say? Believers will pray in tongues. So we're believers. We know about devils. And I told my brother, I says, "You know, I'm the oldest sister. I can take authority here if you'll give it to me." He says, "Take it." He says, "It's yours." Because he didn't know what to do. And really, it was kind of a frightening experience, because I'd never seen anybody act like this before. And it was scary. So I said, okay, so let's see. "Lord, what do I do?" So I put my hand on him, and his eyes rolled back in his head. And I said, okay, let's pray in tongues. No, I said, "Bill, I have to pray in tongues. I can't just pray those little prayer things. I got to pray." So we started praying in tongues, and I mean, the power of God's there, because God hates devils because of what they do to this poor little kid that was totally innocent. I won't go into the whole story because it would take some time to tell, but every time his eyes would roll back, I got mad, and I started thunking on my nephew's head and just thunking on it. And it would roll its eyes back, and then it would roll back up. And I thought, for crying out loud, it's playing with me. And by this time, I know a little bit, because the Holy Ghost is saying, tell him to say, "I love Jesus." No, "Jesus loves me." I said, every little kid knows, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Okay, and I'll spare you the rest of the song. So it hummed it. It hummed, "Jesus loved me." A demon's not going to say, "Jesus loves me." How can he? He's got the wrong God. So I said, "Thank you, Holy Ghost. That's a good one." So I kept on thunking his head every time his eyeballs rolled back in his head. And I said, "I'm tired of this." And that's when we really started into tongues. I said, "I've got to do this, because I don't have anything. It's God or nothing, or he's going to be the way he is." So we prayed in tongues, and finally, my other nephew, that I told him, "Hold on to Uncle Dwayne," because I'd always heard if a devil leaves, it could enter somebody else. Okay, and I didn't know a whole lot about this, so I says, "Hold on to Uncle Dwayne, because he's a spirit-filled believer, and I know no devil's going to get on him or you." So we're praying, and he says, "Aunt Laura, I see it. Go out the door." And we all looked. Well, I didn't see nothing. But he did. He said it left. And then my nephew went totally peace. He just laid there. And I went, yep, he's gone. He got up and he went into his room and he sang me a song and brought me this little nativity scene that was made out of a peanut. Jesus was a peanut laying in a manger. And I told him a thank you, and he just looked at me like, thank you. Thank you. I know something was wrong. Because I told him in the middle of it, I says, David, if you want this thing gone, you have to help me. Because he was not even in control of his body at that time. And so I had to get to make him stronger. So I started talking to him, and I says, David, help me. If you want him gone, you have to help me. And he did, because he started singing, Jesus loves me, and it left, okay? One experience. There's another one. Okay. What I want to tell you is the devil is not afraid of today's church. As a matter of fact, there's quite a few demons sitting in chairs in the church. Or pews, or whatever they have. Okay? But if you don't pray and you don't fast, you'll never have to ever have a worry, never have to have a care. You'll just get to heaven, hopefully. But you're not going to experience all that God has for you. As a matter of fact, it's rather fun to cast out devils because people get free when you do. They're not bound anymore. So I know these disciples, I was going, oh God, I know it's just like one of them disciples, Lord. I said, what do I do? What do I do? What do I say, Lord? How come? And he answers. If you come into a predicament, it happens. Be ready and prepared to deal with it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't let it have the upper hand, because it'll take the upper hand every time, no matter what kind of a devil it is. Okay? I had another experience in the church. Personal working. One of the ushers came and said, Laura, there's a woman. This is when we were at the other church, the big church. On 303, he says, there's a woman in the middle of the auditorium, in the foyer, chanting with her legs crossed. And I said, oh, so? You're an usher? Usher her out. And he said, but she's a lady. I think you need to do something, you know? I think you need to do something. And I said, okay. I'd already experienced a devil once. I know what a devil was. So I got her off the floor and I talked to her. I says, well, let's come in here. So I took her into who was Juanita's office at the time. I said, well, I got to get her behind doors so she doesn't freak people out or run around the sanctuary or something. So I took her into the office and shut the door. And I says, why don't you just give me a hug? And I never had anybody do this. I hugged her, and she put her hands straight out like the cross. She went, hug me. And I thought, oh, okay, I know what this is. Oh, dear. What do I do? How do I do it in church, Lord? How do I? She didn't want to get rid of this. So somebody came in the office, and so I took her in the personal worker room. And bless her heart, Anne was with me. She had just gotten born again. She wasn't born again very long and just had taken personal working. And I know you always need to have two people in a room with anybody, even somebody like this. So we went in there and I tried to talk to this lady, and there were different voices coming out of her. There was a man's voice, there was a lady's voice, there was a kid's voice, and I'm going, oh, Lord, okay. And I knew at that time she did not want to get rid of these things. So I just said, you know, have a wonderful day. Please come back. And she went out. The service was over by that time. And she went out, and another member came over and went, hi. And she just put her arms out again. She wouldn't touch them. So they said, I think that lady's kind of weird. You know, there was nothing I could do because she didn't want to let go of them, or she didn't know how to. And I didn't know how to take authority for her because I didn't know her. I didn't know anything about her, okay? I could have if she wanted me to. So one of the gals had invited her to church, and she showed up at her house looking through her window asking if she could use a phone. So she brought her to church. That's how she got there. It wasn't somebody who just walked in by themselves. And so I got a call later. She says, Laura, what did you do to that lady? I said, what lady? You know that lady that I brought to church? I gave her a pair of shoes and a dress and helped fix her up so she could come to church. And she says, she was berserk in the car. I was afraid for my kids, so I asked her, where did she want me to drop her off? And she said, well, anywhere. So she opened